Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. If you've ever wondered why headaches happen, or more importantly, how to stop them, the book Headaches, Why You Have Them, What You Can Do About Them is the book you've been waiting for. Written by one of the world's leading experts in headache and facial pain, Dr. Gilius Sperrings draws on decades of clinical research and real-world patient care to explain the science behind headaches in clear, accessible language. Whether you suffer from migraines, tension headaches, or unexplained facial pain, this guide offers practical solutions backed by both medicine and experience. Dr. Sperrings is a neurologist with specialty training in the diagnosis and treatment of headache and face pain, also a pharmacologist with extensive experience in the development of migraine medications. He was an associate clinical professor of neurology at Brigham and Women's Hospital and Harvard Medical School, clinical professor of neurology and craniofacial pain at Tufts University School of Medicine and Dental Medicine in Boston, and currently the medical director of the Greater Boston Headache Center at Boston Advanced Medicine. Headaches, why you have them, what you can do about them. Author Dr. Gilius Sperrings, our guest on This Week in America. Doctor, welcome to the program. A pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
This is really the one-stop guide people have been looking for, to talk them through this headaches, what they should be looking for, what they should be telling their doctors when they go to visit them. Book available wherever books are sold. We'll go through that as we have our conversation today. Doctor, is having headaches normal? It's something you mentioned, headaches, and everybody goes, yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. Is it normal to have headaches?
Yes, I would say it is. I think it is as normal as feeling tired. And I think the biological function of headache, which we don't very often talk about or even think about, I think is in its relationship to fatigue. When we feel tired and we don't take appropriate measures, like taking a rest, taking a break, getting some sleep, or whatever is necessary to restore that level of energy that we have lost and feeling tired as a result of that, I think if we don't pay attention to that, I think then headache is the complaint that follows and will then subsequently force us to take a step back. So I think there is a biological function to headache. I think that function stands in relation to fatigue. And as fatigue is a ubiquitous experience, headache is in the same way a ubiquitous experience. And having headaches is normal, but these headaches are limited in intensity. They're mild headaches. They go away with some rest, relaxation, getting some sleep, or taking over-the-counter medication. It's a different story if you have headaches that are intense, disabling, or if you have headaches frequently, if not all the time. So these are different situations, and I certainly would say that under those circumstances, these headaches are not normal. That is, when they're either intense and disabling, affect the functioning of your body, cause you to feel sick to your stomach, for example, yes, along with it, or when they occur frequently. And I think under those circumstances, one should seek medical consultation.
So I was going to ask when you should be concerned. Obviously, if they take you out of commission, that you have to rest, you have to go to a darkened room, that is the time that you should be concerned about this then, correct?
Yes, you should be concerned about it, because having those kind of intense headaches that affect your ability to function, that affect the body's ability to function normally, I think having those headaches is not good. It's not good for you mentally as well as physically. And so it needs attention, especially from a treatment perspective. Usually people are concerned that when they have bad headaches, or they have them frequently, that they have brain disease, but that fortunately is extremely rare. And we have very good imaging techniques to look at that, with computerized tomography and magnetic resonance imaging, CT and MRI respectively. So if there is a concern from a brain perspective, we have good imaging techniques to take care of that. But I'm more concerned about the fact that if you have headaches that really affect your ability to function, or that occur very frequently, maybe even occur daily or almost daily, they impact your life, they impact the quality of your life. And I think that one should be concerned about that, seek medical consultation, in particular to get a proper diagnosis and also proper treatment, effective treatment, I would say.
What exactly is migraine? And I say that because so often people use the word migraine for headache. You have a headache, everybody's got a migraine, it seems like. What exactly is a migraine? What makes your headache fall into the migraine category?
So I think that the most characteristic feature of migraine is, in fact, the intensity of the headache. So having headaches that are intense to the extent that it make it difficult, if not impossible, for you to function, or that make it difficult for the body to function normally, the various systems in the body. For example, headaches that make you sensitive to light, noise, sometimes to smell, that upset your stomach, cause nausea, maybe vomiting even, or occasionally diarrhea. Headaches that make you feel miserable in general, you look pale, you feel cold. Headaches that impact the functioning of the body. I'd like to say migraine is the kind of headache in which the body partakes in the pain. So it's not just something that occurs in the head, like you have with the ordinary or regular headache, where you just have that kind of dull pain or ache in the head. You're otherwise feeling pretty fine. With migraine, the whole body kind of gets involved. And these headaches also impact your physical ability to function, very often to the extent that you have to lie down because of them. It is also a chronic condition. People who have migraine tend to have those kind of headaches, those intense disabling headaches over longer periods of time, years, very often decades. And it's also a condition that is genetically determined and inherited, and it runs in families. That's why I myself think that the diagnosis of migraine should not really be a problem. I always tell people, just look around in the family, talk to your parents, maybe grandparents, siblings. You may well find that they have similar headaches as would be typical for migraine.
The book we're talking about is Headaches, Why You Have Them, What You Could Do About Them. The author, Dr. Agilius Syrings, our guest on the program. His website is help4headache.com, help4headache.com. Book available, of course, wherever books are sold, and a direct link to the doctor's website for the book, help4headache.com, on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. In reading about headaches, they seem more common in women. Why is that?
So headaches in general, I would say, are equally common in men as they are in women. And I think that has to do with their basic relation to fatigue. I would assume that men and women feel tired equally often. But severe headaches are more common in women than in men. And here we're basically talking about migraine being 2 to 3 times more common in women than in men. The reason being that for a large part of their lives, women have a menstrual cycle. And the menstrual cycle, what underlies the menstrual cycle is an estrogen cycle. And estrogen hormones, for one reason or the other, and we don't really understand why that is, have a very bad impact on headache, making headaches much worse and also longer lasting. And of course, women have on a monthly basis that estrogen cycle with fluctuating hormone levels. And these fluctuating hormone levels in particular trigger headaches, very often intense headaches like migraine. And that happens in particular 1 or 2 days before menstruation. We call that premenstrually, also mid-cycle at the time of ovulation. And the third time that women tend to be most vulnerable to headaches, including migraine headaches, is at the tail end of menstruation. So I think it's very much the fact that women, in the context of their reproductive role, have a menstrual cycle related to that, an estrogen cycle, and estrogen's changes are very potent in terms of triggering headaches, especially severe headaches like migraine.
What creates the migraine headache pain? Where did this come from? Why does this cause the intense pain that it does for so many people?
Yes. So the mechanism of migraine headache is not fully understood, as we don't have full understanding of a lot of things that go on in medicine. But I strongly believe that there's a combination of two mechanisms that are at play. One is an opening of blood vessels, and the other one is a inflammation of those blood vessels that not only makes those blood vessels more painful than they would otherwise, but also further dilates the blood vessels. I think what triggers a migraine headache is really a vicious cycle that starts with opening up of blood vessels. The widening of the blood vessels stretches the nerve fibers that coil around the blood vessels and that transmit pain signals to the brain. But at the same time, these same nerve fibers, they start to release chemicals around the blood vessel that cause the blood vessel to become inflamed and further dilated. A very important chemical in that context is CGRP, calcitonin gene-related peptide. And that has also been the target of very effective treatments that we have developed over the last couple of decades.
And you've been involved in a lot of the research developing the medications. Our guest is Dr. Agilius Spearings, MD. He is the author of the book, Headaches, Why You Have Them, What You Can Do About Them. Let's talk about that. Is it as simple as getting a non-prescription drug, something over the counter to treat a migraine, or does that not work on migraines?
That doesn't work in migraine. And sometimes I'll say to people, if you have headaches that don't respond to over-the-counter medications, you can bet on it that you have migraine. That, I would think, is one of the features of migraine, the lack of substantial response to over-the-counter medications. So it's not the kind of headache that two aspirin, the proverbial two aspirin, will take away.
Yes.
These headaches need prescription medications to be fully relieved. It's also what you like to see in terms of the help that people get. For example, when you talk about acute or abortive treatment of migraine headaches, which is treatment of the individual headaches, I like people to be fully headache-free within 2 hours of taking a treatment, taking a medication. And that certainly is something that one can only accomplish with prescription medications. In fact, we have two great classes of prescription medications for the acute or abortive treatment of migraine. These are the triptans, which have been around for well over 30 years, and the gepants that have more recently come to market.
How has that changed in the 50 years that you've been looking into this? I can remember suffering migraines growing up, and there really wasn't much you could do about it. I just lay on the couch, turn off the lights. You mentioned the nausea, had all of that, and it lasted for maybe 3 or 4 hours. How has that research now progressed? Are you to the point where maybe you can even not only treat these, but prevent migraine?
Yes, we have made tremendous progress. That's what I'm very happy about myself, as I've been involved in taking care of, in particular, migraine patients for the last 40, 50 years. I would say that the three classes of medications that one should really focus on to get good abortive as well as preventive relief are the triptans and gepants that I've already mentioned for the acute or abortive treatment of migraine, and then the gepants and CGRP. Antibodies that target the molecule that I talked about earlier, CGRP or calcitonin gene-related peptide, very effective treatments to prevent migraine headaches. I started working with the CGRP antibodies in the research. As you mentioned, I have a background in pharmacology, and with that background, have been involved in the clinical development of migraine medications. And I started working with the CGRP antibodies back in 2012, and first of all, was astonished by how well people tolerate those medications. They tend to have no side effects at all. But also then subsequently, when we started doing more of what are called open label studies, so I knew what the patient was getting in terms of medication, the degree of benefit. It wasn't uncommon for people to report to me that their migraine headaches had improved by 80, 90, sometimes even 100%, that is full resolution of the migraine headaches. And that is something that I myself, over the 40, 50 years that I have been in headache practice, had never seen that kind of improvement. And that also, to a certain extent, what was that drove me to write my book. We have excellent medications, triptans, gepants, CGRP antibodies. I still see a lot of people suffer, and that really breaks my heart. We have those tools, and yes, we just don't know about them. As a result of them, they don't get applied.
How often are migraines misdiagnosed?
I think they're misdiagnosed very often when they occur frequently.
Yes.
People don't quite understand that. So what characterizes migraine is the intensity of the headache. So migraine is characterized by recurring intense headaches. The frequency, however, is not a migraine feature. When you're lucky as a migraineur, so to say, you may have them only occasionally, once or twice a year. But you can also have them up to daily. And I think a lot of people don't know about that. So they think if you have daily headaches, you must either have a tension headache, as we call it, which is really a persistent low-grade headache that doesn't really affect your ability to function or the functioning of your body, as I've explained that earlier. And people don't really necessarily consider migraine as a diagnosis under those circumstances. And what is additionally problematic when you have migraine headaches frequently, if not daily or almost daily, that you also tend to have a lot of other medical and psychiatric issues going on. Under those circumstances, anxiety and depression are almost always present, but also medical issues such as fatigue, persistent fatigue, persistent muscle tightness, especially in the neck, shoulder, upper back, jaw muscles, and also gastrointestinal issues, reflux disease, IBS, constipation, and so on. That makes life additionally difficult for those people who have frequent migraine headaches, apart from the fact that they're often not recognized as having migraine, but thought about as having just, you know, your chronic tension or chronic ordinary headache.
What are some of the triggers for headaches? And are there lifestyle changes that we could make that would limit not just migraine, but headaches in general?
Yes, I think lifestyle changes are certainly important as well. But again, when you have intense headaches, you really also need treatment with prescription medications, yes, as I've talked about that. But lifestyle changes are certainly very important as well. And I think it really starts by understanding the nature of headaches. That's the other reason why I wrote my book. A lot of people have really very little, if any, understanding of the headaches they have. And again, that's also why I think it's important to look at headache in relation to fatigue, because one of the things you want to do is make sure that you spread out your activities over the day, over the week, so you don't get tired excessively. And also very, very, very importantly, you make sure that you get enough sleep. I think lack of sleep is one of the most common reasons that I see for people to feel persistently or chronically tired. And that can be lifestyle related, going to bed too late, getting up too early. I think a lot of people don't realize that we need at least 8 or 9 hours of sleep per night to feel half decent. And then a lot of people also have just issues sleeping. They have problems falling asleep, sleeping through the night, waking up early. And I think that a lot of healthcare professionals also don't really address sleeping issues to the full extent. I think it's extremely important in the management of any patient, but certainly the patient who has frequent migraine headaches, that you make sure that he or she sleeps well. Another very important issue is eating. In the context of migraine, there's a lot of focus on diets. I'm not a believer in diets, apart from the fact that it's very difficult to maintain a particular diet over a length of time. In general, it's more important that you eat regularly than what you eat. So eating 3 times a day at set times, make sure you don't go without food too long. Fasting is certainly not something that you want to do as a migraineur. And then in terms of what you ingest, I think coffee and alcohol, you want to be careful with. 1 or 2 cups of coffee, if possible, decaf coffee, I think is okay. And be careful with alcohol. Certainly don't drink alcohol on an empty stomach or under conditions where you're tired, or for a woman when you're premenstrual or mid-cycle, because under those circumstances, there's already a high likelihood that migraine headache will occur.
The book is Headaches, Why You Have Them, What You Can Do About Them. Dr. Agilius Spirings is our guest on the program, the author of the book. Known for your writing style, people in reading reviews, this is not like a medical journal, is it? You wrote this so everybody would understand it and be able to take action after reading it.
Yes, I have written about a dozen books for the medical profession. I'm not a writer by far, but I've published quite a bit, including about a dozen books, but for the medical profession. And this book, I really wanted to do differently. I basically just sat down and started writing it. I wanted to write it as a regular book and also for a broad audience, although I would say it's not a popular book. There's a lot of, I think, information in it that would not only give a lot of insight and assistance to patients, but also might very well be helpful to the healthcare practitioners who take care of headache and face pain patients. But yes, I wrote it as a general book for a broad audience to be able to read and understand. And I hope I was successful doing that because I'm not an author.
Well, you have been getting attention. People say it feels like each chapter, like I'm sitting and talking with the doctor, I can ask questions, I get information. And talking about asking questions, you talk a lot and people who've read the book say, this arms me with the knowledge I need when I go in to talk to a doctor. How important is that, that you're able to accurately describe your headache?
I think that's very, very important. I like my patients to be knowledgeable. As part of working with my patients, I spend a lot of time explaining things to them. I think it's extremely important that you understand what you're dealing with yourself so that you also yourself know the right things to do and what to look for. And again, I also wrote a book to kind of empower patients with the knowledge about headache, about what treatments are available, and also what they should expect from the treatments that are being prescribed to them. So empowering is really a very important goal that I had in mind as well. But I think education is extremely important, and it also, I think, puts the healthcare practitioner on alert, I think at a higher level of attention, if you end up being a knowledgeable participant, yes, in the dialogue that occurs between you and the healthcare practitioner. I think that's extremely important.
That's interesting. So as a doctor, you feel better, more comfortable dealing with a patient that comes in with knowledge. They're asking the right questions. They're being very descriptive in what they're talking about. That we think of as that helps the patient. It helps the doctor, obviously, as well, as you're able to zero in and find out what the problem is. A couple of minutes left. Boy, time is going by way too quickly. In the book, you also talk about face pain. Why do you have face pain involved in the book?
Yes. So headache and face pain both involve the head. So that kind of brings them together. But at the same time, face pain is a totally different medical problem than headache is. So because of the fact that both affect the head, that's why they come together. But at the same time, you really need special expertise to deal with face pain. A lot of headache specialists also claim to be face pain specialists, and that's not necessarily true. They just kind of add it on, but it's not an add-on. It's a field in and by itself that also needs specialized training, which I was able to get in my training in headache, but especially because of the fact that for more than a decade, I was affiliated with the Craniofacial Pain Center at Tufts Dental School and learned a lot additionally about face pain and what is involved with it.
One of the world's leading experts in headache and facial pain, our guest on the program, Dr. Iglesias Spirings, MD. The book is available wherever books are sold. Doctor, just wrapping things up here, you really, I think if I'm understanding what you're saying, is migraines can be controlled now. There are medications out there that are effective within a couple of hours. Is that the main takeaway you want people to understand? Because for so many who suffer, it's like we just have to suffer because there's really nothing we can do about it. That's not true anymore, is it?
That is absolutely not true. It hasn't been true for the last one or two decades. We have very good classes of medications that are generally well tolerated and they're safe also with long-term use that can treat migraine headaches effectively when they occur. Again, my own goal is to get full relief of headache within 2 hours of taking the treatment. and that consistently and without side effects. And especially with the development of the CGRP antibodies that I mentioned, we also can prevent headaches to a great extent. You may easily, with those medications, see 75, 80, 90, or maybe even 100% reduction in occurrence of migraine headaches. So migraine headaches is definitely no longer something that you should just accept and as part of your life and be forced to live with. We have very good medications to treat those headaches. And again, I think they're grossly underused because a lot of people are just not aware of it, both patients as well as healthcare providers. So I think that where patients become knowledgeable, go into the office with knowledge about the existence of those treatments, what to expect from those treatments, I think that will kind of also get the healthcare practitioner going, looking at the problem and looking for effective treatments for you.
It's why this book is doing so well. The book is Headaches, Why You Have Them, What You Can Do About Them. Dr. Agilia Spearings has been our guest on the program today, the author of the book. His website is help4headache.com. Book is available wherever books are sold. You can go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, and click on to the website, help4headache.com. Learn about the book, order the book there as well. Dr. Spearings, it's been a pleasure having you on the program. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you very much for having me. Thank you.
It has been our pleasure, and I'd like to thank City of Books, one-stop shop for all your book publishing and marketing needs, for arranging our conversation today. Their website, cityofbooks.com. You're listening to This Week in America. More on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.